The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello. Good day. Is it morning? I don't even know anymore. When are you listening to this? Hi, besties. Hi, Noah.
Hey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Whatever day. Good afternoon.
It looks like we're so official now. I mean, we were before, but this looks great.
Yeah.
Only people could see.
We are like sitting in a way that might look like the way we do the podcast officially from a studio when we get back to St. Louis. We are going to have video on the podcast real soon. But we appreciate everyone being real patient with that because I know you like to consume podcasts on YouTube. A lot of you are like, it's not on YouTube. And if it's not on there, like they just are like, I don't know where to find it. I'm like, I can't help you, man. And I'm just, you know what? In my life with things like this, I'm just taking my time. You know, like it's been so nice getting the podcast studio together because we have no deadline. We're just like, when it gets ready, we'll sit down, start shooting it, and then we'll have video. There's no rush. Let's all just like calm down, you know? Let's all just like, if you really think about all the things where like, I have to do this by this time. It's always like we can always kind of wait. That's what I'm always like when you know when you have a deadline for something and then, Noah, I know you felt this way before. When you like, let's say you have to have an email sent to iHeartRadio about some promotional thing we're doing or something, and they're like, hey, have it by Friday or whatever, and you get it, you send it like end of day Friday, and then you don't even hear something back until like people don't even read it on Friday. Like there can always be nothing's really pressing. Everything can kind of wait unless you're like working in like the government and like people's lives depend on it. Then you can really take your time because what's the hurry? Those people are just so removed from you. But like, you know, things can always, I think so much of my life has been wasted going like, but we need to, like the other night I was running late for dinner with David Spade, name drop, but he is one of my closest friends, which is, I will brag about that all the time because it's one of my greatest life achievements is being like actually friends with David Spade. Not in a way that I go, oh, I'm friends with Jennifer Lawrence. Like back when I was friends with Jennifer Lawrence, another name drop, I was. We don't talk anymore. And it's not because we like had a falling out. It's just like, you know, she changed her number and she's not accepting my faxes anymore. And never mind. I write her on Venmo. I'm just kidding. You know, like when I say I'm friends with people, sometimes it's like acquaintances. I was friends with Jennifer Lawrence. That's a bad example. But we're not anymore. No falling out. But David Spade, like I think he's one of my close friends. Like it's wild. And sometimes
you're always listening to a voice message from him. So funny.
I listen to them like in front of people, not to show off, but to show off. No. Because he leaves voice memos and then you either have to, famous people communicate in voice memos and drug dealers apparently connect, talk in voice memos. I was talking to Las Culturistas about it, which, by the way, got to check out that podcast I was on with Las Culturistas, Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang. It's same podcast network that we're on. So, but I'm not even telling. They are so funny and good. If you like this show and you're very much into pop culture, they are if you like me, you obviously like a fast talking bitch. And those two are fast talking bitches. They just like, they have hilarious things to say. They dissect pop culture and in a way that, you know, they were talking at the top of the show, kind of like I do. Like I was just sitting back and watching them. And I was like, I can't believe how funny this is. I was like watching and it was funny because they hadn't invited me in yet. And I was just watching and they could see through Zoom that I was like, you know, gasping and being like, oh my God. And like laughing. Like it was so interactive. It's a great show. And then we really get in, if you're a Swiftie or even if you're not a Swiftie, we just get into some really interesting topics. A lot of people have written me because it dropped today about it that are fans of that show and have never heard of me. And they're like, who are you? This is amazing. And I was like, you got to check out Nikki Glaser podcast because if you liked that, you'll like this. So therefore, if you like this, you're going to like that. Yeah, we were talking about voice memos and I find them very easy to send because sometimes I dictate into my phone of like, hey, Noah, can you let in the COVID test guy, period. Just, he knows he can park in the garage, period. Thank you so much, exclamation mark. You know, and then And that's a voice memo. Like sometimes I actually forget that I'm not doing the dictate, but voice memos are good. The problem with voice memos is though, don't leave a long one. I was at dinner with a friend. I was at dinner with Gleb last night. Gleb Savchenko, my former dance partner. It was so much fun. I'll get into that in a second as much as I can. Just because of time, not because of, there's so many like private things about it. But we were talking last night that he like got a voice memo, one of those. And if you're on, if you don't know anything of what I'm talking about, you can on iMessage on your iPhone, you can leave a voice thing and just record. And then the person on the other end plays it and then it disappears eventually. I think you can listen to it one or two times and then it disappears, which is why I think drug dealers and celebrities use it because it's not permanent, no screenshots. You could screen record and you could listen to it in front of your podcast producer, Noah. Sorry, David. But I, he got a 5.5 minute one from a girl and he was like, I can't listen to this because when you have the voice memo up, you can't go back and forth in it.
Yes.
You, and if you give up in 3 minutes because you want to go look at Instagram while you're listening to this, it starts over and then you just have to listen to all of it again. So that's an error. So send voice messages if they're under a minute for sure. I find it a good way to communicate. My point was I was running late for dinner with David Spade the other day and I don't like being a late person when I say I'm going to be late when I'm going to dinner with someone, especially someone that he like picked out the place. It was like I had given my, I just didn't want to be late to dinner for my friend. And I was kind of like getting annoyed at my friends who were taking a while to get ready. I'm like, we have to be there because I move like, I know exactly when we'll need to go and I leave no buffer zone for us to be exactly on time. So when my friend, when I'm like, we're leaving in 5 minutes, that doesn't mean eight, that means five or we're going to be late. So I was annoyed the other night, but then we were late. And then I was like, I was late to dinner with Gleb last night too. But here's the thing I do, complete honesty, which is what I practice. I say how late I'm going to be to the minute.
You're so good at that, by the way.
I told Gleb, I go, I know we said 8:30. Gleb, it's going to be 8:45. I got stuck talking to Nate Bargatze about tour buses for my tour, which I might be getting a tour bus. It's so much money, but it's apparently so worth it. It's so fun. So I got stuck about buses and I go, Gleb, I didn't tell him about why, but I go, I got stuck up, held up at the show. Going to be 8:45. And then I get an Uber and it says 8:51. And I go, we're looking at 8:53. And he went, what, LOL. But I'm not going to say 8:55. It's going to be 8:53. I'm not going to say 8:50. It's going to be 8:53. It's 8:53 and it was 8:51 and I showed up and yeah, I always give exact numbers, but I can always pretty much, I think it's from being on stage so much and knowing what time is what, like knowing what 8 minutes is, knowing what 4 minutes is, knowing what a 2 minute light, I can kind of get it down to the right number. Last night at dinner with Gleb was so fun. We like, we haven't spent that much time together since 2018. I think we had one meal together since then and it just wasn't, we weren't as like, let's spill all the tea. We just got real. Like I got to just have all my like questions answered, especially about all of the drama surrounding him and this past season. Let me just say this to everyone, to anyone who's reading headlines. It's not what you think. I, this is what I realized. I thought I knew all about my friend Gleb from reading headlines. And I was able to take those headlines and go, I know what's really going on here. There's probably some truth to this, and it's probably worse than what it is. I was completely wrong. The real story, if Gleb's telling me the truth, which I think it is completely different than what the media has let on. So it like made me question. I invest a lot of time in people's relationships, who's cheating on who, or oh, who's dating who got snapped with who. It's all fucking fake. And I'll reveal more of why I know it's fake in the future. But just let me tell you that it's all plan. It's all bad press is good press. And people like to create things. Sometimes you'll go, why would that person want that story out there? And it's like, because no one's talking about them and bad is better than good. That's not his case, but I just know I can't wait to tell you guys something that I did last night. It does not involve anything sexual. I want to be clear about that. But I hope in the future I can reveal what happened to my besties. And by the way, I didn't say it yesterday on the show. During my MTV monologue, they took K out. I did say a very strong K. If you watch my MTV monologue, I talk about guys who say they never watched The Bachelor. I've never seen a single episode of The Bachelor. And I, in the monologue, you could see where they cut. And I go, kuh! A strong kuh that an editor must have been like, did she have an aneurysm just now? What does that sound? Because I always question, do people know, does the sound kuh just explain itself? Or would it be confusing to people who don't know? Like, would people go, oh, that kind of actually sounds like the sound you'd make after saying...
I think if you say it confidently enough, they would feel like, oh, that is a word that I should know, but I don't. But I don't, you know, like, I feel kind of bad asking what.
Yes. There's a new word that I just learned that people are using. What the fuck is it? That I was like, that's a fun new word. Oh, someone was talking about, someone did a British slang the other day. Mutton dressed as lamb is a British thing that I like. If a girl is like usually dressed like disgusting, like, you know, is kind of grubby, and then all of a sudden she's really dressed up, and go, that's mutton dressed as lamb. Like, that ain't. It's kind of like a Monet from Clueless. We reference Clueless a lot on this podcast. She's a real Monet. What's that? She looks good from far away. When you get up close, it's a whole big mess. That's rude, and it's slut shaming. No, it's not really slut shaming. I sometimes feel like a Monet. I mean, everyone is. You ever look at yourself in a close-up mirror? God damn it. Everyone. Are people having body dysmorphia from the fact that their skin is airbrushed in every photo and then they look in the mirror and mirrors aren't airbrushed? Because I see some girls who put up pictures, men too, who put up pictures where it's so filtered. And I go, this person must want to kill themselves when they look in the mirror because they're presenting this. It's almost like a joke. Like, I expect the caption to be like, I just woke up like this. Like, it's so overly filtered.
Yeah. The plastic surgery industry is doing real good. From all the Zoom conference calls and all the beautifying filters, they're saying the plastic surgery has gone up
because you need to match. The picture they bring in is no longer Angelina Jolie. It's like, this is me on Zoom. Can you make me look like I look on Zoom? I put that knob all the way down. I don't want any touch-ups on anything. I want the honesty, unless, you know, I'm doing a TV thing. But even then, I didn't do it for Fallon. I didn't touch up my thing. Shoulda. Maybe my nipple would have been less, it would have looked 14 years old when my nipple flew out. It didn't fly out, thank God. We have so much to talk about on the show today. Great news stories. We're going to do a finish my sentence that might lead to Andrew and I, you know, having awkward tension around the house for the rest of the day, which is the best version of finish my sentence. We'll see how it goes. I came up with a good one. And let's start the news. Let's get Andrew down here. How about it, Noah?
Sounds good.
Andrew! All righty. Hey, Andrew.
Good morning, LA. Remember that from Good Morning Vietnam?
No, I never saw it.
Okay. I'm just going to say it's a good movie.
Maybe I'm sure. There's a lot of movies. I haven't even seen Back to the Future yet. And I know that is not okay.
Why do people get so angry when they find out you haven't seen a movie that they love?
Because it means so much to you. Like, last night I got upset at, I got upset at Connor last night because he hadn't seen the end of Nanette. That was a dumb thing to get upset about. But still, like, yeah.
Okay. What are three of the movies that you can... I mean, we're doing top one, bottom one.
No, like, early, if people haven't seen them, then I go, no, like, yeah. You have to see Jurassic Park.
Okay.
When people haven't seen that, I just go, and there are a lot of people I know that haven't seen that because they're young, you know, and they were too young when it came out. And so that makes sense. I know that that's why I haven't seen Back to the Future. I was like young when it came, I was a baby when it came out. Oh, God. I made my friend watch You've Got Mail. But
You've Got Mail, Harry Met Sally.
When Harry Met Sally, for sure. I mean, these are just my favorite movies. But, like,
someone got mad at me because I'm a comic and I never saw Young Frankenstein. And they're like, and it's almost like on their part to be like, you've never seen this older movie that's like a legend. And,
yeah,
you know, that's like really what comedy is.
That one, yeah, that one gets brought up a lot. But Blazing Saddles, I have seen Blazing Saddles, but like, or like The Life of Brian or like Monty Python, those kinds of things. People are often like, how have you never seen it? It's like, because it doesn't hold up. I know that certain parts do, but like, what? You know, Emil had never seen Friends. That to me, I was like,
never one episode?
You got to watch one episode of Friends. That just to grasp the cultural, you know, touchstone that was Friends. Because you guys were doing a photo session out here by this fountain with an umbrella. And I go, you should have done the intro to Friends. And he goes, I don't know what that is. And I was like, I understand you're young. I'm not going to give you shit about it. But you should just watch one episode of Friends. Seinfeld for me, when people haven't seen Seinfeld, you can't get away with that. You hadn't seen Seinfeld, really. And that's just because you hadn't seen it. You know, like that happens, but you need to fix it.
My grandma Thelma would watch Seinfeld every day, you know, because it came on at like 4 p.m. And she had bad hearing. So she put on these like special, and it would be like, she'd just sit right in front of TV and love fucking Seinfeld so much. And it'd be like her whole day.
My grandma and grandpa got into Seinfeld in their like the end of their life too, and loved it. And it was just one of those things that was like, yeah, they're cool. They get Seinfeld.
Isn't it awesome when you see like parents just laughing, just and you're like, oh, they laugh. Like, they're human. Like, yeah. I don't know. I think we talked about this before, but see my mom laugh at something about Mary. Like, was one of the best things ever.
No,
That's another movie that I definitely recommend people seeing. But some of that movie wouldn't even be okay nowadays.
Oh, yeah. They were definitely making fun of
Handicapped kids. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was like, I honestly thought the way they handled the handicapped, her brother that was special needs, was like sweet.
I thought so too.
And like I
mean, Matt Dillon's character, he's like, I mean, he was that was one of the funniest characters ever in
but
a movie.
But it's funny because like the truth about it is that people do make fun of people, and it was like showing how people might make fun of someone like that. And yes, we all laugh at the jokes that he made, but it's like, I don't know. It's just like when you can't make fun of things anymore, and then you can't even address that people might make fun of it. You're in denial, because then are people are doing it behind closed doors. It's like the way I feel about rape and molestation. If you don't talk about it, the people, like if you don't make jokes about it, it's taking the subject and it's making it, you're not making it. I don't know how to describe it. Micah Fox and I got into this discussion about it. Like, you got to talk about these things. It's not an excuse for comedians to be like, I want to make jokes about whatever I want and hurt people that have been victimized by it. It's like, you got to talk about what is actually happening behind closed doors, even though it's uncomfortable, because it'll keep happening behind closed doors if we don't.
I guess it just has to be funny. I guess that's what people always say. It's got to be funny. Like,
I mean, I listened to this podcast about molestation called Hunting Warhead.
What's that about?
It's such a good podcast. Oh my God.
Listen to it after this.
It is, I mean, it's devastating. It's like a serialized one that's like about a guy that went after a pedophile, like a child sex abuse images, aka child pornography, the dark web. He saw like a ring of people and he tried to like infiltrate it and bring these people to justice and figure it out, like what is happening. And it just gets into like how this happens, how sex is traded on the dark web. It's so much worse than anyone thinks. And it wasn't, I like stuff like that because I'm weird. Like, I like hearing about disturbing things. I don't know why. It's not because I'm like getting off on it. It's like, I don't have kids. I mean, I have niece and nephew, and it made me horrified for them. But I was able to now take what I learned from that podcast, which most people won't expose themselves to because it's too painful to hear what happens to children and how much it's happening. And I was able to take that and bring it on stage and do a joke last night. I was finally able to crack a joke last night about molestation that only one person left, I saw, because they were maybe triggered.
Left?
They got up. They might have had to go to the bathroom, but it might have been someone that was molested and was like, I don't want to hear this girl talk about molestation. But my whole point was no one got like mad, because I go, I have not been molested, but I want to share what I know. I go, I'm telling you all, don't trust anyone to be alone with your children. And I know not everyone has the privilege to do this, but what I learned from Hunting Warhead, don't trust anyone to be alone with your children unless you have been alone with that person as a child. So that's okay. So maybe your
that
your
eliminates
parents,
so many people though.
I know. I'm just saying you can do that, but I'm just saying do it cautiously. Don't ever fully trust someone you haven't been around as a child. So like, I'm just telling you, because people you think that couldn't, that's why I do the joke. As like, my sister said it was okay for me to take a shower with my nephew. And I go, Lauren, no. And she goes, why? And I'm like, what if I molest him? And she goes, are you? And I go, you don't know that I won't. Like, you've never, actually my sister has been alone with me as a child and knows that I'm not into little girls.
Yeah, but she was 2 years younger. It wasn't a,
I know, but that happens too. Like, true. But like, you know, she knew enough of me not that I wouldn't do it. But the truth is, there are molesters out there that present like I do. And like, you wouldn't know. I'm just telling you guys.
No, I know. It's just dark. It's
the one thing I learned from it that I said on the, and people just need to know this. Like, I'm sorry that you don't, if you don't want to hear this, but if you have children, people, this guy on this thing was like a trusted relative, a sweet cousin that would like teach the kids how to swim. No signs of being any kind of like weird pervert. Was able to generate sex abuse images that were traded on the dark web and still are traded on the dark web even after he was caught for them, because he was caught by the images, not because he was caught making the images, in 10 seconds that the mother went to go grab a towel while her kid was in the bathtub. He was able to take images in 10 seconds that millions of people, and I'm not kidding you, millions of people
are looking at. Did he do 10 seconds because he set up a timer so he could be in it?
What do you mean?
So he could be in the photo?
Oh yeah, he put it on. He placed his phone next to a bar of soap to prop it up, and then he did the timer. No, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, I know it's so tragic. It's the idea that you can't trust a cousin or trust an uncle or trust but that's probably where the most abuse comes
people
from.
People are listening that have been abused, and you might blame your parents for it, but they fucking and maybe they did know, because a lot of parents are in denial and can't handle it, and then they didn't believe you, and that's fucking tragic in and of itself. But the truth is that. You don't know. And I would trust no one, but that doesn't mean I would trust Noah. I would also trust no one. But that doesn't mean that you need to like never let your kids alone with anyone, because you can't possibly.
No, you got to go to that movie on Friday night.
What movie?
Any movie. I'm
get
just
cameras
saying,
in
like,
your house.
Gotta,
I don't mean
you're
to
get
be paranoid,
it.
But like, and what it needs, what it is educating your child very early on about what. And making them totally comfortable telling you anything and being comfortable enough to talk about the subject. Because if you are comfortable enough talking about that there's people out there that do these things, your child will have no shame. And that there are people that are going to do these things to you and say that if you tell, I'll kill your family. Like, tell them. Like, they're all lies. Whatever someone tells you when they do these things to you, promise me you'll tell me, because anything they tell you will happen because of that is going to be a lie. Like, you have to, because these people fucking make these kids so scared. It's twisted. You have to, the uncomfortable things you have to expose yourself to get the information is necessary to protect yourself. And it's really bad. And people go, I don't want to hear about this molestation. I have kids. It's like, well, then you're.
I wonder at what age can you have this? I mean, to sit down a child and be like, look, it's just a tough conversation to have, because you don't want to have the conversation unless it's a possibility of happening,
too early
where they can understand.
There's definitely
YouTube
videos that probably would have more information about how to talk to your kids about this at early ages that wouldn't scar them for life. But it's these molesters trade tips and tricks all on the dark web. And by the way, everyone, 5% of people regularly look at child pornography, aka, which we should call child sex abuse images. That's a real statistic, and I know you don't believe it, but 5% of anyone in the general population regularly consumes it. Again, that doesn't mean they're child molesters, because not that many, 5% of the population is not child molesters. It's because they are becoming into extreme pornography, and they can't stop, and then they eventually it leads to kid stuff. So just know that going out there.
And some of them are just, you know, football scouts.
What do you mean?
You know, they're just scouting the kids to see their athletic talent. Let's just.
What do you mean? What? I'm confused.
So when there's scouts that like check out high school kids all the time.
Oh, you as someone who's watching football kids playing football all the time?
Yeah.
That's not child sex abuse images.
I know. I'm just fucking around.
All right.
I'm trying to lighten this up a little bit, and you keep wanting to make it so dark.
I'm sorry. I just want to protect children by giving information out there that everyone's scared to consume. But Hunting Warhead is a fucking great podcast. Let's get to the news.
You heard it here first.
I'm sorry. Sometimes it can't be funny, and I just want to help out children. And then people are like, Jesus, Nikki, we get it. But I'm not going to stop talking about it.
I don't want you to stop talking about it. I just want you to have a great time and all the
swells. Do you have a wart on your thumb? Is it coming back? No. Wait, on that thumb?
Which one?
I can't believe you had a wart on your thumb for so long that I knew you, and I never paid you $1,000 for me to dissect it. Because I am dying to...
You played with it.
You never let me really get into it the way
because
I wanted to. Because you were like, it hurts.
Because I've seen you pick up a bag. Let alone play with my skin. I'm not going to let you near my skin with needles. You're very rough. You pick apart your own shit.
I would love.
Oh my God. I'm so scared of you with a knife.
I would like do any. Last night I saw a guy post on Reddit with a wart and I was like, he's like, what do I do? And I go, I would literally fly this guy to St. Louis so I could scrape this thing off. Like, that's how bad I want it. I think it's becoming like, I need to have it. It's so weird.
Your two obsessions are Taylor Swift and warts. Like, that's where your brain is. Right?
Why do I want it so bad?
I don't know. I think you need to get your own wart.
I have like this thing on my knee, but it's not good enough. I think it might be some kind of growth, like a wart, but like it's not the kind I want.
Maybe you could meet with a doctor and he could put a planter's wart on your foot.
There's a doctor I'm listening not even kidding. That could give. I was wondering if there was like many, maybe models in medical school that they like use that like I could play with, but I really want a real one. And I know that I don't know what's wrong with me. I have to look into it. Let's get to the news.
All right. First headline, a 38-year-old man was pulled over Sunday after a deputy saw him apparently sleeping behind the wheel of a 2019 Tesla operating on autopilot. This guy was sleeping on the highway. A couple people called in. And when he got pulled over, he's like, I was going to work. I was just tired. But
wait, I mean, like, isn't that what you can do now?
Well, that's the thing. The autopilot, the whole thing is like, I don't have to pay attention.
Yeah.
Like, I could sleep in the back seat. But apparently you have to be aware. So then you're just kind of aware of driving. You know what I mean? Like, you're not. I want either full aware or completely asleep. I don't want like a half aware person that is kind of.
Yeah, what is the point of a self-driving car if you can't sleep while it's driving? Exactly. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
It's not. It's not sufficient. It's not sufficient. I mean, this guy obviously makes it. This isn't probably the first time he's tested this. You're on the highway.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely sleeping on the way to work all the time.
Huh? What's that? Oh, he got called out three times for it?
He was pulled over two other times last year for the same thing.
I mean, is this a new thing they had to make up, like driving while, like sleeping while driving? Like,
well, you're looking at getting a Tesla. Would this be something you're interested in sleeping while traveling?
Yeah, I mean, if it was safe Starbucks? To do, if like you, these cars are.
Would you trust a car?
No. I mean, no. I wouldn't trust it this much. This guy must know what he's doing in a way that I don't, but I know I would not probably sleep. But the thing is, it's wild when you were sometimes driving a car. When people fall asleep at the wheel, everyone listening has had some version of this where your body goes. Just like take a little snooze. Like
I've
you can do it.
Eyes.
And you're literally driving. So the power of sleep is insane. So if I am in a self-driving car and I had that same thought, of course I'd give in to that. If I've let myself give into it when I'm actually driving.
Well, here's the thing. You would lose in chess to a computer, right?
Yeah.
You would say, even if you played chess every day of your life.
Yeah.
You would still lose.
Yes.
So don't you think a car would drive better than how you drive?
Is it the same computer that's playing chess? That is in the car? Because there's some computers that I wouldn't trust. There are some things like, you know, like sometimes things just like malfunction. Like, I don't know, the vibrator that I found the noise of on my phone.
Wait, what's this?
Remember yesterday when I was trying to pull up the noise, I found it.
Oh, yeah. Isn't there also a vibrator on your phone, a vibrator app for your phone?
Oh, I believe that. I used to do that and try to like make it, but it's not vibrating. It doesn't do it enough.
You would have to get a thicker case. Oh my God, it sounds like a clown laughing. I see like a clown with a knife, like going, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, that's the one that sounds like, read more, read more, read more. Call your mom, call your mom, call your
that
mom.
That turned you on
mom.
Hearing
you're alone,
that?
You're alone. No. I hate how noisy it is. I never really hear it usually because I have in my headphones and I'm listening to women cry. No, I'm listening to, you know.
That sounds like a factory machine. Like, that should be like.
That's the one that goes. Like, it moves inside you on its own. It's like, great.
I guess
but
it makes you want to fuck a guy, like, in construction. Right? Like, some guy with a drill, like a heavy drill.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole fantasy is, like, just.
Would you want to fuck a guy with a hard hat on? Like, does that turn you on
no,
at all?
No, I don't see, like, construction workers, and I'm like, yeah. Like, I don't like, that doesn't.
Like a guy in just jeans and no shirt?
I
like,
mean,
come
sure,
home.
It's a hot look, but I want more of, like, when I don't want a guy to, like, I want to come home, and I want a guy to be, like comfy and, like, not, like, dirty. And actually, I like a dirty guy. I don't know. I don't know what I like anymore. I just want someone to love me. I don't care what you do.
Can you talk about going on a date tonight and how you feel about that? Or should we
I'm going on a date. We'll talk about it later, but I am going on a date tonight. So the Tesla guy, I am going to get a Tesla too, by the way, I think. Because I'm rich and I want, I do think they're showy, but they're, because they're electric car, they're the best electric car. They'll last me. I can resell it when I'm ready to give it up. And I got an electric space at our apartment. And like I did a gig specifically. I told you, I was like, I'm going to do this gig. It's paying me X amount of money. I don't want to do it. And you go, you could do it in one day. It's one day of work. And I go, you're right. But I just really don't want to do it so much. And it ended up being something that I really didn't like how it turned out. But I need to take that. I said I was going to do it. And I need to take that money and buy a car. Because I otherwise I'm just gonna add it to the bin and then never spend it.
And you didn't like how it turned out, but did it do anything to your life?
No, it just made comedians go, I saw that thing you did.
You were number one.
I'm like, I didn't make myself number one. That was the list before I presented it. I didn't know I was number one. I would have never accepted the gig because I like being number one, and it looked like I gave myself that. If I would have known I was the number one roast moment on Comedy Central, I would have never accepted the gig to host those moments. I accepted the gig before I knew I was number one. They even said, do you want us to give you number two because you're hosting this? And I go, no, I won number one fair and square. Give me number one. Next story.
Also, I feel like the Tesla is like, you know, when online dating, I'm like, you date online and now it's the norm. Like, that's going to be the norm. It's not even going to be weird.
Everyone should drive electric cars if you can. It is the future.
Okay, so Dax Shepard reflects on what happened before his messy 2004 Conan interview, in which he fell over blackout drunk. So
he did
in 2004. I watched the interview. The fall was on purpose, like at the top, but he was slurring a little bit. He was funny, but he was definitely off.
And he doesn't remember it at all.
He knew it.
Yeah,
but the audience didn't mind it, but he knew. And so you know,
could tell he knew during the interview.
No, now. Like,
but he was blackout.
I guess he was, but maybe watching it on YouTube again, he could see
himself. I would not want to watch that. I hate watching people when they're not at their best. Like, it's very uncomfortable for me. Or when they're like, when they make Conan nervous.
Like when, so yeah, he was like passed out in the hotel. He woke up 20 minutes later. He was doing the interview. He forgot all the stories, like, you know,
all the prep that goes into it.
All the pre-interview stories.
All that stuff he forgot. And like, you know, he's been sober now, but then he had a relapse recently.
Yes, I do know that. He was on pain meds for some injury. He fucked up his hand. I think he broke his hand pretty badly, and then he got back on stuff.
Yeah.
And he came out with it, and it was good for him.
But it's just, you know, it's, you know, people often ask comics, they're like, so you must drink before you go on stage.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that? I mean,
what do you mean?
You used to drink and now you don't.
Yeah.
Do you think you have to drink to be funny? I mean, that's what people's misconception about alcohol
is. It's just so getting on stage and is so scary to some people that it just drinking calms you down because drinking makes you more dumb. And so if you're more dumb, you're not as nervous. That's why like liquid courage people are like, I'm brave. It's like, no, you're just dumber. It's not that you're actually braver. Bravery comes from like acknowledging what you are doing and like feeling good enough to overcome it. There's no bravery in getting drunk and being able to tell the girl you like her or making the move or being able to go on Conan and have a better time. It's you just are beginning a descent into the dumbest. Because if you keep drinking, you become catatonically like really, really dumb. Like,
yeah.
All it does is retard you is what drinking does. So anything that you get from drinking, it's not because you're braver or because it's the true thing you want to say. You're just dumber.
Yeah, it sounds like.
So yeah, I chugged a beer before I did Jay Leno the first time.
How did that feel?
I just needed one because I used to always drink before I went on stage, at least one. And it was during the day. And so I was like, is this weird to drink a beer? And they didn't even give me a beer in my room. I had to go in Rainn Wilson's green room while he was doing his interview and just chugged a beer just to like, you know, take the edge off. It was like a Xanax, you know, I just needed to be a little bit dumber so that my body wouldn't overthink. So there, you know, I needed it because I was having anxiety, and now I have other ways to process anxiety. You know, now I smoke weed sometimes before I get nervous, which doesn't seem like a good idea, or drink coffee. Like, I just need to get out of the state of mind that I'm in. And but now I for big moments, I do not smoke weed or like do anything to. Like if I'm nervous for a date, I might smoke weed because I'm like, there's nothing riding on this and maybe it'll make me more anxious. But like if I'm doing the MTV Awards, I didn't smoke weed that day, even though I wanted to so bad because I wanted to just feel, but and actually I didn't because I was amped enough and excited enough that I didn't need it. But yeah, what do you think about this?
No, I just feel like, you know, there was another time where he was getting his biggest movie role.
Dax.
And he started taking like, he got in a car wreck going to buy Coke in Hawaii and it ended up being meth and he smoked meth and he was just like, it just sounds like he was like self-sabotaging before these big events that like you finally made it to whatever you wanted to make it to.
Yeah.
And then you get the most fucked up possible, which because is interesting.
You feel like a fraud and you're too scared. I did that too. I was auditioning to be Kevin Smith's like partner on this like syndicated daily show. Mm-hmm. This was in like 2010. I had no money. I was broke. I didn't have a computer. I had $500 to my name. It was awful. And the night before the audition, which the audition was going on his podcast, I went out with this guy I was interested in, got wasted because I was so nervous. And the next morning I had completely lost my voice. I was on this audition for and I was literally talking like this the next day because I lost my voice because I just got wasted the night before and was smoking a bunch of cigarettes and was like, I knew I had totally sabotaged, like I was hungover and it was like, I'm so glad I didn't get that job because I didn't deserve it. I couldn't handle that pressure. And I never did that again though, like of the night before something, because it felt terrible to squander that. And I knew I did, but I'm glad I did because that, I wasn't ready for it. I shouldn't have gotten that. And Dax Shepard probably.
I would do those same things, not with business, but with family stuff. Like, so if I had like dinner with my, or lunch with my grandma the next day, or Mother's Day the next day, the night before I would get, for some reason, just absolutely destroy myself.
Yeah.
And I'd be so hungover at these things, which make it 1,000 times worse.
Yeah. Because you were already doing something you kind of didn't want to have to be with family and celebrate this. You're like, why?
I don't know. I think back at it. I don't know. Maybe I was just self-sabotaging because I was asking for help, but I couldn't ask for help. So I thought maybe if I completely fucked up, people would be interested and maybe like force me to get help.
Would you fake all day that you weren't sick? Like, or would you really lean into it?
No, I would fake. I would pretend to be like completely normal and then have a full on panic attack.
Oh, Andrew.
And I remember being at lunch with my grandma, and like if you're at like the club and you're hungover and you're just like, you're just looking at old people and you feel so disconnected from them. And oh my God, dude. Oh, the panic, the anxiety, and just like just shaking, going to the bathroom over and over again, just trying to like get my bearings, you know?
Man, you.
My brain.
How did anyone hang out with you back then?
Because I was pretty cool the night before.
Yeah, when you had some booze in you. But man, did the people know you were falling apart at the seams? Did your family know?
There were so many times I was at dinner and my whole brain was going crazy and I was thinking I was going to die and
chew on your hand when you get nervous. Would you be like looking like, would you be chewing on your, like, would people go like, what's going on with you?
I'd be underneath the table and my legs would be shaking, my hips would be tight, and I would feel pressure in my forehead, and I'd act normal until the appetizer came, and I would be like, and then finally, like, eventually I would calm down like 35 minutes into dinner. Ugh. Or I would have to go for a walk. I mean, I've had to leave dinners because I don't know, man. It was wild. Like, your brain really fucks you up, man.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
And you have no tools for it back then. You had no way to deal with it. You wouldn't even like Google, like, how.
I didn't want to seem soft. I didn't want to seem weak.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's just like, yeah, you just don't want to be like, you don't want to be the guy, the one cousin at the party or at the dinner to be like, I can't handle this. Like, I'm literally like wanting to cry, but I can't.
Couldn't tell anyone in your life.
I mean, my little brother kind of went through similar stuff, but they always just like, sometimes I just feel like I don't know, like I wasn't, I either didn't show it enough or they just were like, you're the fun guy. You're always having fun. You're silly. You're strong.
Your parents never were like, hey, what's going on with you?
They were so interested in their own shit, I think. Yeah. I think that's what happened. And I mean, I have empathy for it because I do the same thing.
Yeah.
But
I mean.
You know, my mom being an alcoholic and she just wasn't literally not aware.
No, alcoholics can't be there for anyone but themselves. And that is across the board, no matter what kind of alcoholic you're dealing with. If you're dealing with someone who's dependent and people go, but my mom wasn't, my dad wasn't drunk. I never saw my dad drunk. It's like, well, when he wasn't drinking, it was almost worse because he hated the fact that he wasn't drinking and was like resenting every moment. Like, because when you, it's like, because when you want your drug and you can't have it because you have to be with your kids, you fucking are in, that's more anxiety. That's worse than when you're drunk, you know? Like, so when people go, I only saw my dad drunk a handful of times or didn't drink around me. It's like, you probably would have benefited from being around your dad drunk because that was the only time he had any fun. It was the times that he wasn't drunk that he fucking hated you and was so disconnected because he was thinking about, when can I drink next? When can I drink next? Just white knuckling it, as I call it.
Dude, I don't remember one time where, like, my mom would make dinner for us. Like, I'd get home late because I played sports and I drove an hour to school, whatever. But I don't remember one time sitting down and being like, having like a talk, like any kind of talk, yeah. Like any where I'm at, what's going on in school. None of that shit. I see some of these families on TikTok that like prank each other and they're all like they're all like one like cohesive unit. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like the D'Amelios the other night. Yeah. I mean, whatever. But yeah. They'll probably get divorced soon. Anyhow.
But yeah, it's just they're... If you don't know what I'm talking about people, like if you've never been addicted to anything, the way that alcoholics feel when they're not drinking is the way... Have you ever been starving, right? Like you are the most hungry you've ever been, right? And all you can think about is like, where are we going to go for dinner? When's the food coming? You know, every time the waiter walks into the kitchen, you're like, he might be coming out with it. And like that kind of anxiety where you're like, you can't focus on the conversation because you're like, my food might be arriving. That's how addicts feel all the time when they're not getting to do their drugs. So if you can't relate, you can relate to that moment. And that's how your dad, who you never saw drink, was feeling all the time when he was with you. And that's why he's such an asshole.
And ask your kid how they're doing.
I know. I didn't get asked that a lot either, and for various reasons, but just never, never had a talk like, how do you feel about that? You seem to be going through something. Is there anything on your mind, Nikki? You seem to be in a bad mood lately. What's going on? I never had that.
Me
neither. And it's not, and it's if my parents are listening, you fucked up, but it's okay. You didn't know any better. Why do I care? Why do I care?
I guess we'll do this. Glev Savchenko's estranged wife, Alina. Oh my, Samodonova.
Okay, Gleb's wife.
Yeah, thought Nikki Glaser killed it with the Chrishell Stiles hookup joke. That was the headline.
I don't know if what I said yesterday on the podcast to allude that I fibbed a little bit and said that Chrishell.
No, in the article, they quote you.
Because this is not right.
The headline is such clickbait.
It's meaning they just changed my words.
They manipulated the words, okay. Yes. Because in the quote inside the article, you say how she texted you. She sent you like a message.
DM, yeah.
A DM that you're in regards to your performance, you killed it.
Yes, that's what it was. And she didn't say specifically that joke. She was like, I think she saw my red carpet interview actually with Chrishell or something. Like, and she was just like, she said you killed it. There was no like, I loved that joke where you skewered my ex-husband. And it was, so it wasn't that at all. But thanks Us Weekly for now. I had a great dinner with Gleb last night. Then I wake up to a thing that's like, Nikki revealed that Gleb's ex reached out and loved that she trashed her friend Gleb. And it's like, that's not what happened. And what happened was she just wrote me a nice message and it wasn't about like, get him, girl. And now I kind of, knowing what I know, I kind of I don't regret my jokes about Gleb that I made because they were really funny and he was into them and Chrishell was into them. But let me just say, there's literally no truth behind the jokes I made. Literally none. And I, when I delivered them, thought that there was none. So,
and
headline that.
And they said our podcast, the Nikki Glaser podcast, in the article.
Listen, I will take the bad press. Feel bad today, like after having this great talk with Gleb last night and hearing his side of everything and just, you know, still empathizing with every part of this, knowing that like, oh my God, it felt shitty to wake up and be like, now Gleb's going to think that I'm talking shit on him on my podcast and like, you know, buddy with his wife being like, yeah, we're going to get him, which is not the way it went down and not the way that she thought it would, you know, reached out to me at all. So I just want to be clear about that.
Hopefully Gleb reads the full article, not just the headline.
Well, I know Gleb that does wake up to a Fresh Us Weekly on his porch every morning. Yeah. Just like, you know, when you stay at a hotel and they give you the Times on your front doorstep.
Yeah, he reads that, he gets then Us the Weekly. Journal, Wall Street Journal. And then I think he actually checks out the...
He's so hot. It's like, and he's aged a couple of years since I've been able to look at him across the table, like really, really study his face. Boy, he is... So, like, I really like an age. He used to be so pretty because he's just so, he was like a little bit younger and a little modelly. Now he's a little bit like just
rugged.
Oh, God. Gleb, if you're listening, you know how I feel about you, but like, and you know that you're so, saying Gleb's hot is like saying the fucking sun is hot.
Water's wet.
You know, yes. And boy, was it ever last night.
Yeah, you were there was up at dinner.
There's a lot. No, I was not turned on. I really wasn't. I was just like, he is such a beautiful man. And I love, and I learned so much about him that I go, he's so much more than I even knew in during Dancing with the Stars. Like, he shared a lot with me, but like, I'm like, you're such a good person. And from, I guess the things he was telling me, I mean, by the way, I'm just hearing one side of things. I was like,
it's kind of nice though to like kind of go on a pseudo date with like the hottest man on earth, because it gives you next date you go on with a very good looking man that you thought might be too good looking for you, you realize, oh no, they have insecurities, whatever. Like, I don't know. It's like a good like gateway
it
drug.
It was
to,
not
like,
a date, but it was definitely very like, it was just a loving connection between friends who have, and he said to me, he goes, as soon as I saw him, we hugged and he started like dancing. We like did our little salsa while we were waiting for our table. And he was like, you are the only, he was like, I would dance with you again. I would dance with you again. I go, Gleb, I'm trying to get back in. I go, I want to do a loser season. And he's like, you need to. He was like, the way they do the show now. He goes, Nikki, the way they did the show in your season was the worst way it's ever been. You would kill the show now. And I go, Gleb, not only would I kill the show now, I am a new woman. Like, I have confidence. I don't care like what people think. I would be willing to. I was in such a fragile state when I did that show that I would love to go back with the person I am now. And he even was like, who is this new person? Like, you don't seem, you just hold your, he was like so proud of who I've become since then. Because he saw me in a really bad state then. And we were just laughing about all the things we used to care about then. And the boys I was into. And it was really, really fun. And then I have another thing to share eventually about last night that I can't wait. But it was a good night. And you had a good night too, right?
Yeah, I had a good night. I mean, I met my hero, Mark Maron.
Yeah, I woke up this morning and Andrew was talking to Noah in the kitchen.
Is it
about?
I don't think it's. I think it's uncool to be like. It was actually pretty cool to have a conversation with someone that pretty much started podcasting.
Yeah,
and yeah, I went. I hung out with Tim Dillon, who was an old friend of mine. We went to the Comedy Store. Next thing I know, I'm in a conversation with him and Mark Maron. Tim leaves, and then it's just me and Mark Maron shooting the shit.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm shooting the shit with Mark. Because he's like, you know, he's such a figure in a way.
I know.
And I mean, within 10 minutes, I realized he's not just a hot face, you know? There's
more to him. No, Mark Maron is one of those people that you're like, oh my God, I'm talking to Mark Maron. And then you're like, he's just a guy. He's just an insecure comic like us all. Like, they don't change. But yeah, I love Mark Maron. Our first interaction, I met him at a comedy festival, and I was at like this... I was at a buffet that they had set up, and he just walked up to me, and I was like making a plate, and he goes, he looked at me and he goes, what are you, eating disorder girl? And I was like, I go, Mark, yes, I am. And I go, and I know that you know it because you're eating disorder boy. And
yeah.
He was like,
and
then we got to, it was just like cut through the, and I was like, how
brash that would be.
Yeah.
What was on like, your plate?
Just a bunch of vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, just a bunch of fucking eating disorder foods because I was still in my disease then. Okay, let's get to finish my sentence, which is where Andrew and I complete a sentence for each other and see if we can get it right. And sometimes it makes us fight all day. Or in one time when we did this, it made us fight all day. So this sentence is, Andrew.
Oh, you want me to go first?
I mean, like, I wrote it down. I don't have it in front.
Okay. If I could change one thing about my physical appearance without surgery with the snap of a finger, it would be blank, because then I could blank. I like how you set this up like this. It's like Mad Lib style now.
Yes. I wanted to have an extra
sad
element
libs.
To it.
Yeah.
Sad Libs. This is what we should call it, Sad Libs. That's really funny.
Do you want me to go first? Do you want
sure.
Okay. If I could change one thing about... Okay. Hi, I'm Nikki Glaser. If I could change one thing about my physical appearance without surgery with the snap of a finger, it would be to have a little bit bigger of an ass. I want a thicker ass. I put on pants the other day, and I didn't like how they fit. And I just think, like, just a little. It doesn't have to be a giant ass, just some ass. And I'd be pretty happy with that.
Because then I could
maybe wear certain pants that maybe I avoid. I could have a little bit more confidence when I'm maybe naked, or maybe when I'm, you know, at the beach or whenever. But however, I do feel way more comfortable with my body these days. And I actually, like, for the first time in my life, I kind of like my ass, and I like myself. So
wait, so do I want to change my ass?
If I had to.
If there was one thing I had to change, it would be my ass.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what you think. All right. Do I answer it first? How do we do this? Do I say if he was right or not? Yeah, I think so. Okay, so that's not a bad guess, but I do like my ass now. I know I can't stop picking up my knee. It's like I need to get it off. It's like there's
skin
there.
What is it? Is there a scab?
I think it's a wart, but I think it's the kind of wart that I don't want. Like, I don't know if it's a wart. It's like a skin growth on my knee that has been there for like a decade, and sometimes I pick it off when I'm and I just
what
need
are
to get
you
all
nervous
the-
right now?
No.
You seem chill.
I'm not nervous at all, but I just want to get that skin off. I need it to be flat.
I know, but I can't stop watching it. And then
I know, for some reason it makes me want to bite my nails. Okay.
But I don't mind if you do it.
I would not change my ass now because I really do think it's decent enough. Like, I think as I age, more fat is going down there just as like a woman. So I'm like, oh, okay, I don't mind it. That wouldn't be the thing I would change. I would change, I would have my skin not go falling off my face, because I see my face just like, sometimes I look like a melting candle of like skin, and that's what I would have, like more tight skin on my face. And I know that's like a minor thing, but I would have like a face, like I would just have my face pulled up, like stretched up. That's what I do now.
Without surgery. But I don't understand the without surgery part.
Like, it's
actually.
Like, because you have to consider all these things. Like, well, I don't want to do that because it's like surgery, and then people know. This is just like you snap your fingers and it's like it's fixed right away.
It's imaginary and for the segment. That's
yes.
Why.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. No.
I just want to say the reason I would do that is because then people would like me more because I look younger, and everyone likes younger things because everyone's scared of death and it reminds them of death. And then people wouldn't make fun of my face or like, that like I know that that's going to be the first thing that people make fun of when I age and like notice is my face. My body is still in good shape, but my face is going faster than the rest of my body, and no one's ever literally ever told me that I look young for my age, and that's okay. I don't mind it, but like I would like my face to stop aging. That's my number one.
But a positive is so many people do their face so much and their body is falling apart, so it doesn't match. Your body is going to be fantastic your whole life.
Not
so
my
your
whole life. It's going.
I mean, your dad slower. Still has a fantastic figure. He's 65.
I get it. But like my dad's face, he looks like a turtle. Like his head.
He does have a turtle face.
His head is aging faster. That's why I stay out of the sun. I'm just saying, like, I would choose a facelift. And I'm not saying, but the thing is, the snap of the finger doesn't, it's not going to look like Housewives. It's just going to be look like
me. I got
pulled
you.
Up. A little bit more. And I would make myself have a, you know what I would do? Okay, smaller forehead. I would have my hairline start a half an inch lower on my head. Like, I want a Selena Gomez hairline where it's like she has like a little, she has like an inch of forehead and I have like 5 inches. And now don't use that against me, trolls, and be like, oh, your forehead's big. Please don't. Okay, Andrew, if I'm Andrew Cullen, hey, I'm Andrew Cullen. And if I could change one thing about my physicality without surgery, and it was just the snap of a finger, I would be 4 inches taller because people like taller people, and I'm okay with the size of my penis, even though it probably would look smaller given my 4 inches of height. So I do have to consider that. Now I'm backtracking, but I would probably be 4 inches taller so that I could be more athletic and more like stand out in a crowd, and like people would like me more because people tend to like tall people. Girls tend to like tall people better. Not that I'm looking for girls, but overall in society, like you succeed more if you're taller. And that's what I would change. Andrew?
Oh, it's a tough one. There's so many things that I think I would change. My nipples.
Oh yeah, your nipples.
Even though I've been told many times my nipples are not bad, but I they're just such an insecurity that I've had my whole life.
Why don't you get them fixed? It would literally be such a cheap surgery to get your nipples depuffed.
I don't think you could make your nipples
100%
smaller.
Andrew. You could get your nipples removed. They could take out the puff and they could put them back on. Yes, they can. Have you ever looked into it? You said that someone had surgery for their nipples. The Rock.
The Rock. But then someone yelled at me. They're like, no, actually, you had a condition. But I don't know. Whatever.
Okay, we'll get that condition.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm going to try. Nipples, yes. I think I would.
You would take
my hairline
over height? Okay.
I don't mind that my hair is receding because I think it looks good when a man ages and their hair actually goes back a little bit. But I could use a little bit more thickness in my hair.
So what do you want to do? You wanted to do nipples, you wanted to do height, or you want to do hair?
What if I took my nipples and put them in my power hours? No. Okay. That's so tough. I think I
would give myself warts. I forgot about that one. I would give myself one wart on the bottom of my foot that didn't hurt that much, but hurt a little bit. And then I could, I'm not kidding you. I'm perfect, except I want a wart. But I'm scared to get one on purpose because I'm scared it'll spread everywhere. I just want one on the bottom of my toe. Or like somewhere with a good callus.
So you're telling me right now you would have a wart over a younger face?
No, that's not true. But I do really want a wart in just one place. I'm so weird.
I wouldn't mind if my penis was a little bit thicker. Had a little bit more weight.
What are we looking at?
Probably around that.
Like hard? It's that?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, this is about a... That's as much as you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
What is that? That's probably like a large... I don't even know how to describe what that, about an inch and a half in diameter.
I could use a little bit more weight, I think.
You want your dick to be heavier.
Yeah.
You just want a girl to pick it up and be like, ah.
Yeah, I saw some guy on TikTok.
Lift with your legs.
I saw a guy
back
on TikTok do a backflip and his cock, like, in his shorts, like, and every girl's like, man, that's a lot of weight. Like, that's all I want. Just to do a backflip and a girl go, God damn, that's a lot of weight in there.
With an accent too.
Yeah. God damn, that's a lot of
weight.
What
are you watching on TikTok? Like, it is so funny. Noah and I caught Andrew again.
Oh, that
yesterday
should be a segment. Go
hinting through around cock size. What did he say yesterday that we were like, oh my god, he's doing it again? Oh,
when we were sitting out on the
couch with Bill and Micah and everyone, we were talking about something, and Andrew just goes, "So, like, wait, you guys like, oh, girls moaning." Are they moaning because of the size? We were talking about being loud during sex, and you were like...
That was on the podcast.
No, that wasn't on the podcast. Mm-hmm. You asked a question.
Yeah, does a girl moan from the size of the cock or from the pleasure?
I think that was on the podcast. Yeah. And later on, there was another one, though, where he was like, wait, is that because of the size? And Noah and I were just like, he can't help it. He goes, I'm doing it on purpose. And I go, no, you weren't.
Well, here's the thing. Guys talk about dicks a lot. Like, straight guys.
Dude,
talk
I'm
about
friends with a lot of guys,
lot.
And I've been friends with guys my whole life in a way that we are friends too, very open. No one thinks about it as much as you. Final thought.
I mean, I don't know if guys are as comfortable around you to talk about their dick size. Maybe they are.
I can sense, the thing is, you haven't told me you're uncomfortable about dick size. I knew it before we ever got there because you would perk up when girls would talk about dicks and be like, and follow up with little questions of insecurities. The way that I would, if someone would be like talking about a flat ass, I would just be like, so like, is ass really important? Actually, I wouldn't say that because I thought it was too obvious. You're not good at not being obvious. I have to say.
It's fine though.
You
think
have
I'm
no subtlety.
Yeah, I don't think.
But you think that you're being like, I'm so good.
No, I don't. I don't think I'm being subtle. That's the difference.
No,
I don't.
No. You
I
Andrew,
don't. I don't.
Let me just say.
Okay, how am I? Okay, here, explain it to me. That could be.
Yes. So you are not good at subtlety. Remember the time that. So if I'm ever around Andrew and, like, let's say there's something happening that we talked about before with a friend and we're at lunch and they start doing it, I want to kick them under the table. I can't do that with you ever. Ever.
What do you mean?
I can't give you a look or anything. Well, but like, so say we're having a shared moment and we don't want to do it in front of Noah. We're like, so let's say Noah did something that we were like, oh my God, we talked about her doing that. And we're being little bitches at lunch and we're like, Noah does something and we're like, oh my God, like she's doing it. And I kick you. I could never trust you to do that because you'd go, ow, why are you kicking me? Like, you are never plugged into the discreetness. Or if you are into it, I'll look at you and go like raise my eyebrows in a way, and then you will start giggling in a way that's like so obvious to the third person. You can't ever just.
So I'm not
like
a good poker face.
You are terrible. One time I wanted you to leave me alone with someone because he was a third. I asked him to be a third wheel because I was nervous to be around this guy alone.
Mind you, this is one time.
But this is the only time I've ever been into a guy.
This is what Nikki does with me. I do something once, and maybe it's a big one.
No.
But then it becomes my whole personality.
No, but this the kicking under the table thing, I've done with you several times, and you have always gone, wait, what? Like, and I go, oh my God, now I have to pretend that I was like accidentally kicked him under the table. It's happened a lot. I'm serious. You're not someone that I can just go like inside joke. I can't even give you a look. Like, I have certain friends that we just can look at each other and not start laughing. We just like give a look like, but you go like, you get like excited about it and you'll look at me too much and you'll keep going back to it. And in fact, sometimes when we are with someone that does something that is, we know we're going to talk about later, I won't even look at you because you look at me like, let's look at each other about it right now. And I go, I can't even.
No, sometimes I'm like a dog. I get giddy.
And then later on you go, did you see that? And I go, of course I saw that, Andrew. I was never going to look at you because it's so obvious. Like you don't realize that you give away, you have no poker face and that you give away things by either biting your fingers or like the anxiety you express, it will suddenly show up in like it's very vulnerable, but you aren't good at hiding your feelings.
I've been better about being giddy. I don't know if that's like comes with age about being like that nervous energy. I really don't feel like I have.
Yeah, we
it
have
quite
to go do two huge podcasts today, and I'm really scared about you being giddy.
I'm scared. Can I say my fears?
Yes. Oh yeah.
My fears is that like I won't be able to talk at all because you'll talk.
Well,
so much.
I'm the star of our show, so and we're promoting the Heliators podcast, so I think that would be okay.
But see, even that attitude that I just got back from
I'm just
from
saying,
that.
Like, we're not going in as you're. It'd be like Conan O'Brien and Andy Richter going in to promote
I was
Conan
telling you
show.
My fears, and you came back at me like, I'm the star.
But I'm just saying your fears are real because they are thinking that's the way it should be. You're not. I got you invited on these. Like, we're going in together as a thing.
My fears are real.
Yeah, I'm going to set you up to look great, but I wanted to have a talk with you before of like, please don't have, because sometimes you'll do this thing where you're like, you'll be on these shows and you'll be like, so I'm doing this. Like, you get into this, like, I just want you to be the same on this podcast today that you are. Like, I want you to be this energy.
Okay.
Instead of like trying to show off for boys or getting nervous and like, not
yeah,
show
but
off,
then
but
you
like,
tell me these,
getting,
you tell me these things and then sometimes I'll hold back my funniness or saying
no,
things
I hate
because
that when
I feel
you go
like I'm
the
being
other
judged.
Way. That's I really don't like when you go the other way when you get like super like I'm so chill. It's just like be real.
Okay, but imagine if I told you how to be on a podcast.
Please tell me. You just did. You said you're going to talk too much, and I said, yeah, I probably will. I mean, that's what I do, and I acknowledge that it's annoying to you sometimes. And you can acknowledge that you being, hey, Tom Segura, I love you. Andrew Santino, please. Like you.
I wasn't going to be like that.
No, you are good friends with those guys to the point now that you're more comfortable, but I'm glad we're going in. Like when you get like with Robert, you get like a little bit starstruck with
sure.
these guys, as you should. They're huge.
But
guys,
I don't, like, I don't with them anymore.
Okay.
I really don't.
That'll
I'll
be good.
Fine.
Yeah. I think you'll be fine.
The only thing is the setup at Segura's is kind of weird.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, like they have like a high table and they're like looking down at it. Just doesn't feel that connected, but they're doing okay.
What do you mean it doesn't feel connected?
They're when you do it yourself.
Yeah.
Which I've done alone before.
Oh, it's a different setup for two people?
No, I'm just saying I was making a joke that I did it by myself.
I know. Go listen to it. It was great. Yeah. If you want to hear Andrew talk, that's the one
Andrew
to listen
talk
to.
Talk for more than 5 minutes. No, the table, he's at a table and they're like by where Noah is and they're
okay.
higher up.
Oh.
So they're kind of like looking. So it just doesn't feel like
you're
close
enough.
Do you
want to go there an
enough.
Hour early so you can scope out the room and get comfortable and walk the premises? Jesus. Just.
I don't want to do that.
I listened to the Honeydew last night that you did where I listened to Tom Segura on Honeydew. What's his name's podcast?
Oh, yeah.
What's his name?
Ryan Sickler.
Ryan Sickler's podcast, Honeydew, is so fucking good. Tom Segura went on there and talked about the story of him breaking his leg, playing like doing a dunk contest with Bert. It's fucking good. I'm excited to talk to them today.
I had a really, really
good episode of the Honeydew.
And it'll come out within the next 2 months.
You guys will love the Honeydew. Go subscribe to Honeydew. I mean, it has 7,500 reviews and like it's huge already. So you probably heard of it. But anyway, so we'll be on those podcasts later. I'm sorry I attacked you. I just, I want you to be yourself.
Okay. All right.
Thank you guys for listening. We will be back tomorrow to finish up our stint in LA, and then we're back to St. Louis. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We love you, besties.
I love you, besties. Kay. How about the good?